Good morning and welcome to our service on Pentecost Day. Welcome to all those joining us on Zoom. Our call to worship comes from the hymn 195. When the Spirit came, the church was born. God's people shared in a bright new dawn. They healed the sick, they taught God's word. They sought the lost, they obeyed the Lord. And it's all because the Spirit came that the world will never be the same. Because the Spirit came. We're going to stand and sing 691. This is the day that the Lord has made. 691. Thank you. Let us pray. Spirit of God, you swept into the lives of the apostles, and in a moment everything was different. Transformed forever by your renewing power, you breathed new vision into them, new hope and faith, so that the world was suddenly alive again with promise, turning their lives inside out, so that nothing would ever be the same again. Holy Spirit, move in us today. You came to those looking to serve you, but uncertain of the way forward. To those who believed you could use them, though they didn't know how. Holy Spirit, move in us today. Spirit of God, move in us so that our service may be enriched, our faith deepened, and our lives transformed. Lord, be with us as we worship this morning, as we bring our praises, our prayers, our thanks, and our thoughts. Cleanse us, encourage us, empower and inspire us. Holy Spirit, move in us today. Amen. Let's join together to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And as it's Pentecost, we are using that as our theme, and various different people will be contributing this morning. So I'm going to hand over to Brian.
As the descending dew quickens the drooping flowers, so Holy Ghost, renew these languid hearts of ours. Come as the mighty wind, come as the flame of fire, with love our souls impel, with praise our lips inspire. Come as the dove, sent forth from our high priest in heaven, bearing the olive branch, symbol of sin forgiven. Sweet Comforter, descend with healing on thy wing. Gladden the exiles' hearts with tidings of their King. Come as the Lord of life. Come as the friend and guide. Come with thy royal gifts, love tokens for the bride. Come with each precious grace of faith and hope and love, the blissful foretaste here of endless joys above. Come as the glorious bond of Father and of Son. O Holy Spirit, make the bride and bridegroom one. When through unending days we shall thy love adore, Spirit of God most high, thrice blessed forevermore. Amen. Nearly forgot to tell you, the next hymn is 806, Beauty for Brokenness.
Oh, Bible reading this morning is from Acts, verses 1 to 8, and then we'll jump to 13 to 18, and jump again to 22 to 24, and then on to 36 to 41. It's on page 1093. Acts 2, the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I think this is verse 13. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all those who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Peter addresses the crowd. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And then verse 22. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. I think this is verse 36. When people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Amen. In Psalm 27, it says this: "Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, 'Come and talk with me.' And my heart responds, 'I am coming.'" And that's what we want to do this morning as we pray. We want to come and we want to talk to God. As I'm doing the prayers this morning, I want to ask you especially to pray for the situation in Congo with the Ebola. It's the area where I used to work, and it's a very rural area, and it's a really, when you see it on television, they show the roads, but when you get outside the town, there are no roads, it's just mud and everything. So it's a very, very difficult situation. And on the news yesterday, 3 aid workers died. So I want us to pray especially for some of those situations. But I'll come to that a little bit later on. So much is happening in our own lives, in our church, and in the world. As we pray, I'm going to stop every now and again and use the phrase, "Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer." And I'd like you to join with me in that, because I'm praying, but you all need to be praying in your own hearts as well. So let's come to the Lord in praise. Father, thank you for this new day. Thank you that we can be here together. Thank you for the coming of the Holy Spirit and this celebration of your coming. And thank you that your Holy Spirit is with us now, even as we pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be glorified today in all of our hearts and lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our church, for those who are struggling. I'm not going to mention names, but I'd like you in your own hearts to mention the names of the people that are particularly needing our prayers today. For those who are struggling with health issues, recovery from operations, focusing on an uncertain future. For Sharon, and all that's happening, all that she's involved with at the minute. For all the different services that are held and all the people that are involved. We had our annual general meeting, Lord, last week, and there were so few of us there, and yet, Lord, we know that you're in control. So, Father, we come to you today to pray for those in special need today, to pray for our church, every single person in the congregation, that, Lord, you'll draw near, that you'll give them your Holy Spirit to help them, and that you'll anoint them with your power and your peace. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayer. I think that there's a march for Jesus today. It was either, someone said it was yesterday, but it may be today. And there's a service in London, in Trafalgar Square later. So I'd like us to pray for that and for the people who will be marching, that there'll be a real good testimony for Jesus, and that something of the love of God will come to those who are around, who are listening, that they'll see, even in the way that people walk and praise, that there's something different about the gospel. Heavenly Father, thank you for that people that are willing today to march for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony that will be through London streets today. Lord, there are so often other marches that are angry and so much hate and violence. But Lord, we pray today that on that march there'll be your peace, there'll be a sense of your presence, and that, Lord, people will be able to talk to people about you and about your love. We pray for the service in Trafalgar Square, that people will stop and listen, and Lord, that somehow each one there today will come to know something more of your love and all that the Lord Jesus has done for them. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for the global problems, for the Ebola situation there in Congo and Uganda and the surrounding area. We pray, Lord, for the people of Bunia and Goma and the hospital at Nyankunde. Pray for all the aid workers and all the doctors and nurses who are involved. And we pray for the people who are afraid and suffering. And we ask, Lord, that in your mercy, you'll draw near to them, that you'll encourage them, that you'll strengthen them, and that you'll help them. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for the conflicts in the Middle East and Iran, in Ukraine and Russia, where there's more bombing today, in Israel and Gaza, and in the Straits of Hormuz. Lord, we pray that in these days you will raise up men of integrity, men of peace, who are willing to talk and willing to share. And Lord, that somehow that you, in your mercy, will bring peace in these situations. That, Lord, you will work in the hearts and lives of the leaders and the peacemakers and the politicians. And that, Lord, somehow you will bring peace. We pray for the people in these lands who are suffering. Lord, we ask that you will be with them. We especially pray for any of your children and churches and ministers who are seeking to work and help. Lord, we pray that you'll draw near, that you'll encourage them, strengthen them, and bless them. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayer. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds. Father, thank you that we've been able to bring our prayers today. And we just pray that in your mercy, you'll bring peace to your children in need, and that, Lord, you'll give us your peace in our hearts today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We're going to sing the hymn, Purify My Heart, 921.
When I attended church as a child, we used to recite the creed. Part of the creed in those days said, "I believe in the Holy Ghost," giving a somewhat scary image. It's changed in recent times and now says the Holy Spirit. I don't think I really took any notice of it. I just said it twice a week and never really gave it much thought. But it was when I was 11 and being prepared for confirmation that I learned about the Holy Spirit in quite frankly quite a frightening way. Fire and wind and talking in a strange voice and that I would receive this gift. I was not sure if I wanted to receive this intangible gift. As my faith and understanding grew, of course I began to realise just how lucky we are as Christians to be offered the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I fall on that gift quite a bit when preparing for Wednesday Fellowship. About every 6 months, we have a planning meeting. Of course, at the beginning of the meeting, we pray for guidance. It surprises me all the time what topics come into my mind, and they are not what I've thought of, but clearly the Holy Spirit working. Last meeting, I thought of babies and really didn't know where that would lead to. As time passes, I seem to find he speaks to me through all mediums, and I get drawn to certain Bible passages. Quite often, I find my daily Bible readings throw a connection to the topic, and very often to quite what to me seems ridiculous. Who reads the Christmas story in May? But that is what I was led to this time. It doesn't always come in an orderly fashion, and in my brain is higgledy-piggledy. Often not a convenient moment. The shower seems to be the favourite place. But as I sit quietly and settle and ask for guidance, things become clear. Before the meeting, I always pray for his help, as it's not me trying to deliver this talk, it's God. And we have to make sure we have clarity in what we speak. Jesus promised he would send a helper and comforter in the form of the Holy Spirit. And I have found throughout my Christian life, he has been both. I am glad I accepted that gift God gave me. My 11-year-old self was much more excited to be receiving a nice prayer book and a Bible on that day. But she did not realise the biggest and most special gift of all was that of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
It's time to sing again. We're going to sing 613. It's very short. So we're going to sing it three times, but we're actually going to stay sat down and pass over to Nigel. Thank you.
Thank you.
my thought I've entitled Pentecost, Past, Present and Future. When Sharon found out that Spot was leading the service this Sunday, she announced it was Pentecost. I hadn't got that far by then. I was just working out the logistics of who would be around on a bank holiday weekend to help lead the service. And then my reaction, Pentecost. Well, I've never prepared anything on this subject. And there was a bit of a help. But then when we turned to God in prayer, as Sally's already said, he starts to reveal himself. And to me as a young child, the coming of the Holy Spirit was a bit more than I could cope with. I was just learning about the idea of the Trinity. And as a young child, it was explained to me that you can have water all in three. You can have ice, liquid water, and steam. And it was then explained that we can have God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They're all one. And as a child, that was about all I could fathom. Yet isn't it amazing when he asks you to step out of your comfort zone and step out and do something for him? I've really found it fascinating over the last few weeks, reading more about the Holy Spirit coming. And the more evidence there is in the Bible, much more than I'd ever thought. And then there were the prophecies in the Old Testament that we were reminded about last Sunday. And as we've been reading the events after Jesus' resurrection, the Holy Spirit is mentioned so many times. Matthew 28, when Jesus gives the Great Commission, telling the disciples in verse 19, baptize the people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The whole concept of the Holy Spirit is introduced more by Jesus. He describes the three-in-one nature of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was with the disciples physically until he ascended into heaven, and then spiritually through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus continues to be with each one of us through his Spirit. Jesus told the disciples he would still be with them in whatever they did. And in Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus says, I am going to send you what my Father promised. Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And on that day of Pentecost, everything started to become clearer for the disciples. They found it an amazing day. One that they could find difficult to put into words. And just before we focus on the events of Pentecost, from our reading from Dot today, I just want to emphasise the way God transforms people. Ordinary fishermen from Galilee, and now ordinary folk sitting in a church in Hazelmere. Take a moment to reflect on Peter. This man is standing in front of the crowds of Jerusalem. The city is crammed with people for the Festival of Weeks. The festival comes 50 days after Passover, and it's a thanksgiving for the harvest crops. So the Jews had returned to Jerusalem from all the surrounding areas. But this was Peter speaking to the crowds. This same Peter who was frightened when they arrested Jesus. This same Peter who denied three times he knew Jesus and ran away. The man at his lowest ebb, knowing he'd let Jesus down. But then Jesus seeks him out after his death and resurrection and ask him to feed my sheep. When we think we're not capable of doing something for God, just think of Peter, to know that everything is possible with God. When we read the account of Pentecost, there are words and images that we might struggle to understand. Acts 2 verse 3 says, they saw what they seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. So what does tongues of fire look like? Well, tongues symbolises speech and communication of the gospel. And fire symbolises God's purifying presence, which burns away the undesirable elements of our lives and sets our hearts aflame to ignite the lives of others. At Pentecost, the fire came down on many believers, symbolising that God's presence is now available to all who believe in him. God made his presence known to this group of believers in a spectacular way. There was a violent wind, fire, and his Holy Spirit. Do you remember back in the Old Testament when Elijah also needed a message from God? First came the great wind, then the earthquake, and finally the fire. But God's message came in a gentle whisper. God may use dramatic methods to work in your life, or he may work in gentle whispers. We need to listen to him and patiently wait when he speaks. The whole idea of people hearing Peter speak in their own language was to show that God is for everyone. There are no barriers to who can believe in God. No cultural or foreign reasons why each person cannot have a relationship through the Holy Spirit. And when Peter addresses the crowd, he explains they're not drunk. And he goes back to the words of Joel. Acts 2, verse 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit. One thing I've learned as I've grown older is that the Bible is filled with so much detail. Often when I was younger or at work, I used to read the Bible really too quickly. I'd gloss over what I was reading to get to the end of it. There always seemed so much to do in life. But as I've got older, I seem to have much more time. And I spend more time reading the Bible passages, slower and again and again. But God says in this wonderful reading, I will pour out my spirit. And the word pour seemed to jump out at me. And it meant that really if God was pouring from a large jug, he would give me a good portion. He wouldn't sprinkle me with a few drops of the Holy Spirit and see how she gets on with it, like a taster. But it's that abundance and lavishness with the word pour that God wants to fill us with his love and his spirit so that we're able to serve him well. Peter goes on to tell the crowds that Jesus was the Messiah. He quotes from David, who prophesied about Jesus coming. And after Peter spoke passionately, and as we know, he was filled with God's Spirit, the people were deeply moved and asked, what shall we do? And that question, what shall we do, should be on our lips today, asking God how he wants us to act in the coming days, who we should speak to, who we should visit or contact by telephone. We have so many ways to communicate. even good old letters. But we can contact people and show them we care for them and we're available to talk. But as part of God's spiritual family, it's our responsibility to help one another in every way possible. Because God's family works best when its members work together. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what's going to happen this afternoon, next week. But we do have a future. And how long we have on earth, we don't know. But with big changes this summer, as the preschool's closing and that large source of income disappearing, we don't know what lies ahead. But I do believe that God has a plan for us. But we need to spend time in prayer, seeking his guidance and the path forward. But what I think is so wonderful is we don't know who in the church God will be sending his message to. We're all part of the church. We're all members of that church, and God speaks to us in different ways. Are we going to be the one that stands up to see what the future holds? Or are we going to be that person who sits comfortably on our sofa, missing out on the blessings that God has planned for us? But in closing, the words of that wonderful hymn, "Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do." Amen. Let us pray. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, until this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Lord, let your spirit fill our hearts with love and the passion to serve you in our community and our neighbourhoods. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. It's time to sing again. 274. I hear the sound of rustling. 274.
This is a benediction written specially for Pentecost. Beloved, go. Go out into the world filled with the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit give you words when you have none. Let the Spirit stop your tongue when listening is the answer. Let the Spirit strengthen you when the way ahead is hard. Remember, Jesus said he would not leave us alone and would send us a comforter. Let the Spirit enfold you and comfort you and keep you until we are together again. Go in peace and bring the peace and fiery flames of the Holy Spirit with you wherever you go. Amen.